Welcome to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to have this time with you. I know there are so many other things you could be listening to. Thank you for taking the time. I consider it a sacred investment of your time. That's why I want to make every minute count as we pour into you to help infuse you with faith and truth and courage so you can stand strong on the front lines. And as always, when I say those words, front lines, I think of our frontline newsletter, Just Proofing, newsletter that we'll be sending out. So excited to get these into your hands. Go to thelineoffire.org. Take a moment to do it. You'll be edified. You'll be blessed. You'll be encouraged. I bet every month you'll be waiting. Well, okay, when's the next frontline? Is it the day for it to arrive? It's all digital. Read it on your cell phone, your tablet, your PC. So thelineoffire.org. Sign up today. We continue to get incredibly enthusiastic responses to those who are getting the frontline newsletter and enjoying it, being edified by it. All right. When I began this series talking about can you be gay and Christian, the Bible, or transgender issues, when we started this series, there were two main foundations for us to consider. One was the foundation of what does the Word say? So we spent a lot of time digging into Scripture. We also talked about our attitudes, that we reach out to the people with compassion, we resist the agenda with courage. We have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. We talked about how Jesus practiced transformational inclusion, not affirmational inclusion. He didn't meet people where they were and affirm them in their sin. He met them where they were and transformed them through the gospel, through his love, through the power of the Spirit, through the power of truth. We talked about a lot of these principles. We said, all right, what the Word says, that's the foundation of everything. And then look at the trajectory. Genesis 1, everything reproduces after its own kind. Look at the trajectory. Let me say it again. Everything reproduces after its own kind. So take truth, multiply truth endlessly. What do you have? A lot of truth. Take love, multiply love endlessly. What do you have? A whole lot of love. Take bitterness. Multiply bitterness endlessly, and you have anger, hatred, strife, murder, every kind of atrocity. Take sexual immorality. Multiply that endlessly, and you have unimaginable perversions. People who've been porn addicts will tell you how they started with so-called soft porn, then hard porn, then pervert, and it's every type of unimaginable perversion, and it keeps getting lower and worse. Why? Because sin doesn't satisfy. Instead, what we find when we give ourselves to sin, it creates a desire for more sin. And then the more we sin, it leads to worse sin. And then that sin enslaves. God willing, I'm going to spend a whole month on the air talking about the beauty of holiness. And what I think being bathed in the Word every day is going to change your life as we get into that series. And we'll go through these principles and reasons not to sin and things that will help us not sin. But this is one of those principles that sin keeps you longer than you plan to stay. It costs you more than you plan to pay. It takes you further than you plan to go. Those are realities, an old saying about sin, that those are realities about it. It's the same thing with anything that's contrary to God's order and plan. When you keep multiplying it, it gets further and further and further and further off course. It's like a rocket launch where the trajectory is just set slightly wrong, or a flight pattern where autopilot's just set slightly wrong, and next thing you end up in enemy territory or off course and you're shot down, or you land and explode something you weren't supposed to explode. So you say, well, what's the big deal, man? Why are you so hung up on a couple that loves each other, two men, two women? First, that's wrong scripturally, but it doesn't stop there. There is a social trajectory. Andrew Sullivan, a highly respected gay journalist, influential, articulate, he wrote an article some time back, I believe it was in 2023, called The Queers Versus the Homosexuals, or The Homosexuals Versus the Queers. What he basically said was this: look, when he came out as gay and started going to gay bars, he found what he always knew to be true. It was just like any other bar. There was regular people working their jobs, people living their lives, but they all happen to be same-sex attracted. They weren't like all perverts, weird, and doing bizarre things and
sex maniacs. They're just regular people, but attracted to the same sex. Whereas you go to other bars, regular people attracted to the opposite sex. And that was it. That was it.
He said, but we weren't targeting your children, telling them that they should get chemically castrated at the age of 10 or remove healthy sexual organs at the age of 13. We weren't telling them that. And we weren't into this queer critical theory where their gender doesn't even exist. And no, we were just trying to live our lives. Okay, with all respect to Andrew Sullivan, and that may have been very true in his own case, there's a trajectory. That's why it started with gay movement, and then, well, of course, it's gay and lesbian. You'd say that. But what about those who identify as bisexual? Okay, we got to include that, gay, lesbian, bi. Well, what about those who identify as trans? Okay, you've got to add that in. Well, what about those that just find themselves, they would rather say queer? Okay, well, then, for sure. Well, what about those? It's kind of like, it varies, and it can be all over the spectrum. Well, it's pansexual. And that's why you have LGBTQ plus. You got to add the plus because it keeps going. I've mentioned that a few years ago, Facebook, under pressure from drag queens and different gay activist groups, said, okay, when you're filling out your bio on Facebook, instead of male, female, you can have 50 choices, actually over 50 choices. You can choose 10 different ones simultaneously. You can choose male and female and bi and non-binary and trans man or trans, you can choose 10 different ones simultaneously. And they get 50 different identities to choose from. You think, who can even come up with that many? Well, hang on. Facebook did that, and the activist group said, good step in the right direction, but not far enough. They had to come up with another category, fill in the blank, because you are whatever you perceive yourself to be. And this is the trajectory, friends. So where are we today? Well, the American Library Association enthusiastically supports Drag Queen Reading Hour. Drag Queen Reading Hour. Where drag queens, some of them will, you know, shake their hips. These are men dressed in very overt ways as women, the vast majority of them all gay men. And, you know, over-sexualized women in ridiculous, cartoonish ways. And then here I'm watching some video and the guy's singing the hips of a drag queen goes swish, swish, swish. And the little kids are watching and the parents think it's great. I've seen some displays where, I mean, they're actually doing vulgar dances. I don't care who it is, male, female, drag, I don't care who it is, vulgar dance. And they're performing in front of kids, parades, different settings. I mean, may God save these people. May God have mercy on them and deliver them, make them whole. And yes, they are trying to change thinking. Some of them have been sexual predators and have been arrested or banned from performing among children once they've been exposed to sexual predators. But others, they're not sexual predators. They're trying to change the thinking of kids. And this is fine. This is acceptable. You now have, you can be a 10-year-old boy put on hormones to stop the onset of puberty, which will chemically castrate you. You will never be able to have kids. That is one very serious potential outcome. Now, a few years later, you realize, I was just going through a phase. That's not really who I am. But you've scarred yourself for life. You've scarred yourself for life. What kind of madness is this? There are 13-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls who have had full mastectomies at the age of 13, simply because they identified as male. And then a few years later, they realized, what did I do? And now because they were on hormones, their female organs have not developed properly. They could never have children. If they had a child, they don't have breasts to nurse a child. Their voices have gotten deeper for life. They've grown some facial hair. Even getting off the hormones can't fix that. And they think, well, what did I do? And how is it that parents were affirming me to do this? This is child abuse. This is child abuse. And now with the NCAA, they've been pushing, you know, if a man identifies as a woman, he can compete with a woman, completely demolishing
so many of the things that women have fought for in women's sports and women's equality for so many years, to the point you even have a tennis great, Martina Navratilova, who herself is lesbian, saying this is crazy. Men's bodies don't belong in women's sports. You'd be on hormones, you lower your testosterone. It doesn't matter. You still have a male body that developed as a male body. So, you know, you have a man who's like number 400 in the country as a man swimmer, male swimmer. Then he swims against women. He smashes the records wearing a female bathing suit and changing in the locker rooms with women. And you get women changing in storage closets rather than having to change around a man. This is madness. This is madness. And you've had presidential administrations. And this I'm not making the show about Democrat versus Republican. That's not my issue. All right. However, Democrats have pushed aggressively for quote trans rights and saying this is how you save the children, and pushed to have men compete against women in sports. I mean, you're even getting women injured. There was a female volleyball player, high school volleyball player, who was concussed by a male who spiked the ball, smashed her head. A female basketball player injured by a obvious, I mean, you see, here's a guy much bigger than ladies and violently pulling a ball away from falls to the ground, injured, ended up just not playing the rest of the game. The other coaches pulled out. This is cultural madness. But friends, this is where it leads. As I said, those who came out of the closet ultimately want to put us in the closet. Now, please hear me. I understand the vast majority of those who identify as LGBTQ are not activists. They're just trying to live their lives. And I want to say to each of you listening, Jesus died for gay and straight just the same. He shed the same blood for each of us. We're all created in the image of God, all fallen, all in need of redemption, all in need of mercy. So that is spiritual reality, friends. That is spiritual reality. That is the love of God. But please hear me. You must look at the trajectory, and the trajectory is going in very dangerous ways to the indoctrination of toddlers. What are you and I going to do about it? We'll be right back after a very important announcement.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health. I have never met anyone deficient in caffeine or sugar, but I have met many people deficient in energy-supporting vitamin B12. Unlike other oral B12 supplements, Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is fast-acting because the formula is scientifically developed to dissolve under the tongue, bypassing the digestive process, making it immediately available for use in the body. Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is also formulated with other natural energy-supporting ingredients, such as folate, ginseng root, and other natural ingredients. You deserve to live with greater energy and mental clarity, and now, like millions of others, you can with Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12, sold only by your wellness partner, Trivita.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
Again, this is not something I asked to step into. It's not like me as a Jewish believer wanting to share the gospel with my people and study Hebrew and write books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus and debate rabbis. No, this is something that God called me into in 2004, where it became clear to me even then that gay activism was already the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America, and that those who came out of the closet wanted to put us in the closet, and that it was not just a matter of live and let live. It was ultimately not where it was going. I mean, I could take you to different parts of the world, to Australia, to England, to Finland, to Denmark, to Canada, here in the States as well, where people have been penalized, people have been put in jail, people have been brought to court. People have been fined for preaching what the Bible says.
or simply holding to biblical convictions and truth. Many have lost their jobs. I mean, example after example after example. I've written many, 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 many pages on that. And just on a more subtle level, you know, you think of this. Young lady was telling me in Canada that she was in Christian school through eighth grade, and then ninth through 12th, she was in public school. And she said every class from ninth grade to 12th grade, the first day of the first semester, every year, every class from ninth grade to 12th grade, they ask you what's your name and your preferred gender pronoun. Right out of the gate. And you don't respond rightly. Now you're ostracized immediately, looked at as self-righteous, etc. And she said everyone in the classes was clearly pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ. That was just the given. That was just the social agenda. It's just the way it was. And you would be penalized for saying anything contrary. I could go through professor here in the States, a professor in a college teaching in the religion department, teaching on Catholicism. So a Catholic man teaching in a secular university in the religion program on Catholicism, on a test, explained what Catholicism teaches about homosexuality. It was simply explaining that according to Catholicism, it is disordered. He lost his job over that when there were complaints. He was teaching that particular class, and they dropped him and dropped the class. He was explaining what Catholics believe and teaching this. It's just like if you're teaching on Islam, and Islam says that the Trinity is idolatrous or blasphemous or heresy, you're teaching what Islam says, or teaching that Christians believe that those who reject Jesus as Savior will perish. You're just teaching what the religion believes. So he taught what it believed and explained things for a student, for a test, lost his job over it. I mean, we could go on and on with examples just like this. It's the world in which we live, friends. We must respond as followers of Jesus. And what grieves me is this. Very few have been willing to talk about it over the years. And look, I understand. I get it. The moment you do, you'll be called a homophobe. You'll be called a hater. You'll be called a bigot. Here I am, a Jewish follower of Jesus. I get called a Nazi for saying these things. I have black friends of mine, when they stand for what the Bible says on sexuality, they get called KKK. They're black. They're African-American, and they get called KKK. You will be branded. You will be attacked. You will be mocked. Your church may come under attack in your community. And you say, look, that's the whole thing, man. There are more important things to do. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to share the love of God. This is such a dynamite issue. It's such an explosive issue. It's such a sensitive issue. It's lose-lose, whatever you do. So if you're going to bring these things up, there's no reason for it. Let's just tell people about Jesus, lead them to the Lord, help them to grow in the Lord, and things will take care of themselves. I understand the sentiment, but I have a question for you. In fact, maybe tomorrow we'll play a 5-minute video for you, another animated video, but listening, you'll hear everything you need to listening, but you could watch, you'll be able to watch it. We'll tell you about that. But it's in the spirit of the PragerU videos. It's ask the question, why don't more pastors speak out? So this is not to condemn. I'm here to support and help and strengthen. But for those of you who are speaking out, it's to encourage you. Keep doing the right thing. Here's the deal. As this is not political. As pastors and leaders, we have a responsibility to shepherd the flock. I was talking to one megachurch pastor, and I said, you got to address this. It's not political. It's pastoral. Because this is the world in which your kids live. So I was speaking at a church of about 6,000 in Tennessee, and I was asked to come in on a Friday night, preach on God's plan for sexuality to young adults, then two Sunday morning services preaching about trans identity in the Bible and can you be gay and Christian, and then a Q&A session at night. So 4 meetings. And after every session, I greeted people at my book table and answered their questions one-on-one, talked with them one-on-one. One couple comes up to me, older couple. They said, you know, we're raising our grandson. We live in an apartment building. We're raising our grandson. He's 4. His best friend is 4. The boy just started wearing a dress and saying he's she. Should we let them play together anymore. Another young lady comes up to me, a teenager. She goes, I'm the only one in my class that believes these things. And thank you for speaking. You know, it gives me courage. Then, you know, the standard thing, my kid came out as gay. What do I say? I'm invited to, my cousin's lesbian is getting married. Should I go to the wedding? What do you think? A guy comes up to me, he goes, man, he said, a good friend of mine, older man, the same day as his approach by his son and his grandson, grown grandson. And they both say, we're actually women, we're trans, and if we don't get sex change surgery, we're going to kill ourselves. And he thought he was doing the right thing. He paid for their sex change surgery. Man comes up to me. I mean, there's one after another, after another, after another. Man comes up to me. He goes, what do I do? Teary-eyed. He said, my daughter doesn't want to be called Rachel anymore. She now wants to be called Levi. She is, I believe, 18. And she wants hormones. And I said, no. Her older sister's cut me off. She won't talk to me anymore because I won't embrace Rachel's trans identity. And I said to him, has she struggled with this for years? He goes, no. When she was 16 and Pastor preached a series of messages about sexuality, she said, I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you, Pastor. Just last year, changed suddenly. What do I do? Tears in his eyes. This is the world in which you live. I don't have to tell you that. Young people, I don't have to tell you. Things have shifted dramatically to the point that between 30 and 40% of those in Gen Z now identify, at least 25 at the lowest, 25 to 40% now identify somewhere in the LGBTQ spectrum because it's a matter of solidarity and empathy, identifying as queer or bi. And this is my generation, baby boomers, is less than 3%. Why the switch? Why? Because the indoctrination has spread through the society, and in so many ways, the church was silent. This is Dr. Michael Brown. Thanks so much for tuning in. Just a reminder that we are listener-supported. If we have been a blessing to you, if you're being enriched in the word and prayer and your own walk with God through this broadcast, then stand with us so that we can reach many, many more and bless many, many more. Together, friends, we're making a difference. So go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and click donate.